don't even want to see the glory of God. It's a good thing, isn't it? We may see the glory of God, but we realize that sometimes we don't recognize the glory of God, but it is. And my message tonight stems from the centerpiece, really, of the message. We want to open up in Psalms, close out in Romans, but the centerpiece in Acts chapter 7, the story of Stephen getting stoned to death. And I come across that passage, begin to read it and study it, and I don't know, it's very inspirational. But we're going to start in Psalms 116 first. So, start there, Brandon. Chapter 116, verse 3. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. That's the key, isn't it? We're overwhelmed to call on the Lord. He's the only one who can help our situations. The older I get, the more my seasons change, the more I realize there are things I can't fix. There are things I can't change. There are things I want to fix and change, but just can't. And the hardest thing to do is to let God have it and to step out of the way and let him do what he does best, which is be God. Because by human nature, we want to get involved. It's like good women that want to marry bad men. You know one reason good women want to marry bad men? They think they can change them. I can change that bad man. Because it's in our instinct or our nature that we can fix things. But there are things that we can't fix or that we can't change. But when we say, Lord, save me, then you know what we do? We give permission for the glory of God to show up in our situation. We give permission for the glory of God to show up and overshadow the circumstance that we find ourselves in. It's able to move that mountain, as we sing songs about. It's able to pull us out of the pit, as David said. It's able to put us on a new path if we would say, Lord, save me. So David's overwhelmed by the grave, by enemies. He calls on the Lord, save me. Verse 5. The Lord is gracious, he is righteous, and our God is full of compassion. God is full of compassion because he loves us. He created us. It really irks me, you know, and Carl was sharing something before church about a minister's comment, and we hear it all the time. No man can tell you if you're going to hell or heaven. No man can tell you that. No man is able to be the judge of that in your life. God is merciful and God is gracious. And God, Christ, the Bible says, is the only judge. And so we have to be very careful that we don't picture or paint God in a box of being unjust or angry or mad at us whenever over and over and over the scripture teaches us. I mean, my Lord, God went to the woman at the well, and God ate with sinners, and God healed and touched the lepers where nobody else wanted to be around them, and God healed the diseased woman with the issue of blood. His mercy was shown over and over and over of who he was. The glory of God was seen in every situation, and that glory of God is what healed the woman with the issue of blood. The glory of God is what healed the 10 lepers. The glory of God is what saved the woman at the well. The glory of God is what overshadowed Zacchaeus to the point that this crooked tax collector somehow wanted more, and God changed his heart. See, the glory of God, when that shows up, it is so powerful, it is so magnificent, that no matter how bad it looks in the natural, just wait for the supernatural to show up. And that supernatural will cast away and cast off the problem in front of you if we'll let God be God. So the Lord's gracious, righteous, full of mercy, compassion. Next scripture. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. We hear stuff like this, right? We hate it when we're going through it. We hate it. We love telling it when we're on the other side, but when we're in this situation, don't you hate hearing this? Now, Margie, remember, when you're the lowest, God's the greatest. And when you're at your lowest point, you're going to see the greatest light. And that sounds good, and I believe that. And when you're telling it, boy, it sounds real good. But when you're living it, it's kind of hard to swallow sometimes. But I do believe that. I do believe that when we are low, remember what Paul says, when I am weak, then am I strong. You know what he's talking about? I've always loved that phrase he uses, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. I mean, go tell somebody at work tomorrow, go to the auto auction and say, hey, John, do you know when I'm weak, I'm strong? Okay. Drug test. I mean, I don't know. Be like, what? Think what that means. When I am weak, it means when we become in ourselves, when we acknowledge and recognize that without Christ we are nothing and can do nothing, then all of a sudden we can do anything and everything because we allow Christ to be what he does best, king of our lives. So when we are weak, then are we strong. When I was low, he brought me up, and he always does, and I do believe that in the darkest of our storms, we see the hand of God being poured upon our lives through mercy, through compassion, through blessings, through other people, through strength, through peace. We can still have peace in the storm. See, the storm doesn't have to go away for us to experience peace. We can have peace in the storm, knowing God is going to bring us out of the other side. So I just hold on to that peace. Like on the boat with the disciples, understand they were sleeping, storm came, that did not change their destination, it did not change their end landing or end result, it did not change the finality of where they were going, the storm didn't change one thing, didn't blow them off course, it didn't delay or detour them, they were going right to where Jesus said they were going, but what the storm did do, it distracted them, and that distraction led to a lack of faith. That's what's important, that we don't get distracted because we see things that don't look good in the natural, but we serve a God who is and can and will do anything. With God, all things are possible. And I believe that. We have to trust that. Next scripture. For you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from stumbling. There's been times in our lives that we know without the hand of God we'd have been done for. We'd been lost, we'd been gone. It'd have been too much to have bared. But because God stepped in, and because God showed up, then all of a sudden the tears that we cried of sorrow and frustration, God wiped them away. Our feet that were going the wrong direction or down a wrong path got back and straightened us back up. God's glory is greater than your storm. God's glory is greater than your battle. God's glory is greater than your situation. God's glory, because when God's glory shows up, remember the glory of God, how it showed up at Mount Carmel, the Elijah and all those false prophets, and they cried to their false gods and cut themselves and did all this dancing, and nothing happened. But Elijah spoke just a very short prayer. It wasn't a long-winded four-hour revival prayer. It was a very short prayer. To summarize, God, show these people who the real God is. Show up and show who you are. And boom, that fire came from heaven. And the glory of God filled that altar and consumed that water and licked up the trenches. And all the land knew that the glory of the real God showed up in a real way. The glory of God will overshadow your situation. Next scripture. That I may walk, wipe my tears and my stumbling feet, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I remember Vance Henry used to quote that verse to me all the time. That stuck with me. I come across this, I thought about Vance. He said all the time, he'd be sick, you know, battling cancer, heart disease, had all kinds of issues, and he would always tell me, he said, Pastor, I'm going to serve God in the land of the living. What he was saying was, I'm not giving up as long as I'm here. We can't give up as long as we're here. Because we're only here for a short time, very short time. Whether it's 20 years old or 80 years old, it's still a short time. And so while we're here, God, I'm going to serve you. God, I'm going to follow you. God, I'm going to do what you call me to do, that others will see the glory of God in me. Are y'all hot or cold? I see Brenda Fanner. Anybody else hot? Man, turn that air. I was a little bit, the weather's weird. Turn it down a couple degrees. It's a little chilly when I got here this evening, so I turned it up. It's always warm in the crowd. Thank you, Carl. Turn it down like 72 or something. I trusted in the Lord. Now, I want you to, can we say this? Can we truly, as Christians tonight, say this verse? I mean, I'm questioning myself. It sounds good, and we should be saying this, but do we really believe this? I trusted in the Lord when I said, I am greatly afflicted. I trusted in the Lord when I said, I am greatly afflicted. Go to the next verse. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all of his people. That's a powerful verse. I'm going to keep on serving God so others will see I'm going to serve God. I'm going to fulfill, God, what you've called me to do. I trusted you. In my afflictions, I trust you. Easy to trust God when things are rolling good. That's so easy by nature. Things are good. I saw a comment on Facebook today I thought was so relevant to how we think sometimes. The person said, the quote was something like, when you say you had a bad day, was it only 5 minutes of your day, or was it really the whole day? And I got thinking, how many times we said, oh, man, what a day. And really the experience is only just one moment in your day. Maybe you had an incident with somebody at McDonald's, you know, and they left out, you know, one thing that bugs me about those places, when they give you those fries, which I know you shouldn't eat them, I don't eat them hardly ever, but when you get those packets, those red things of fries, or wherever you get them from, you know, they got the little back part that goes up. You ever notice how they're never filled, the top of the back part? You got half the paper still showing. I've actually went back and made them put more in. Look, I got a large, half of it's empty. Fill it up. I paid for a large. Just a note. Anyway, but maybe it's one of those moments, you know? Maybe somebody cut you off in traffic. Maybe you were late for work, okay? But the rest of your day was great. You just was late for work. So let's rethink that. Is our day really that bad, or do we just have a few moments in our day that are bad? Go to the next verse. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. Now you might wonder, what is this? I mean, man, you got me going high here, Pastor. Now you bring me down low. You got me going from, oh, God knew anything, to precious or the death of his saints. There's a reason I have this verse, and you'll see in a minute why I have it. But remember that verse. Just remember that verse. Next verse. When the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were, we're in Acts chapter 7. So you turn to Acts 7. Now the reason I use that last verse, you'll see here about Stephen. This is the story of Stephen, who was one of the seven selected to be one of the first deacons of the church. He was full of the Holy Ghost, the Bible says, a man of great faith. And he was selected to be one of the first deacons to go serve others, distribute food, do the work of the church, so that Paul and the other leaders could minister the gospel. Now, Stephen was the first person martyred for the cause of Christ. So let's see in verse 54. Let me set you up first. What had happened, Stephen was kind of spewing that Jesus stuff. They didn't like it. They thought he was blaspheming. They thought he was a heathen because he was talking about Jesus. He is, you know, the way to life, and through Jesus you're saved, and Jesus died and rose. So he's doing the Jesus talk. So now the people around him, the religious folks, they're mad, just like they're mad today. And I want to make this note talking about that. My wife graduated nursing school how many years ago? Seven? 7 years ago, graduated nursing school. And they asked her classmates selected her to do the prayer at the graduation because they knew who she was and, you know, all that. So they said, why don't you do the prayer? Melanie prayed a very beautiful prayer. But she made one mistake. She closed out in Jesus' name. Now, she's went back to a couple since then. And I'm not saying it's coincidence. Maybe it's not. Maybe it just happened to be. But they've not done a prayer since. What is it that offends people so much to say Jesus' name? Why is there so much in that name? Because I've said it many times, every demon in hell still shakes at only that name. Only that name. And that's why they don't like it. And so Melanie did that prayer, and I was so proud of her. And of course, I did a wedding, you know, out of state this past weekend, and I did a prayer during the wedding, and I did a blessing over the food and the alcohol. And so I said my blessing, and I closed out in Jesus' name. And I'm in Yankee country. I'm in Catholic country, man. I'm in you know, liberal country. But I closed out in Jesus' name. And I bet half them people, if they might not even caught it, are like, what's he doing that for? What does that even mean? But I closed out in what I believe, because everything is because of him. Everything. I like what Carl posted on Facebook earlier. He was talking to this minister, was talking to him about how, you know, talking about the law and, you know, how to be saved. And Carl put a post that, no, you're not saved by the law, man. You're saved by grace. You're saved by the blood of Jesus and Jesus alone. But the thing is, if that starts getting out, you know, then all of a sudden the control of man is limited. all of a sudden, church leaders and churches or whoever, a religious leader, whoever they are, can't put that. Because see, Carl didn't figure that out. Carl knows I'm saved by Jesus. So he's been set free. He's free for, he'll never go back to that bondage. He's been freed. But so many aren't freed that way. We are not saved by a church, by a pastor, by a nomination. We are saved by the blood of Jesus, period. And when that's what Stephen was preaching. They were so mad at him that they gnashed their teeth. You know what that means? You know, we hear that expression also, I think, in Luke, the gnashing of teeth. It means like a hissing. They were so mad, they were hissing at Stephen. Like a bunch of rattlesnakes, hissing. Next verse. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, and this is the revelation I've read this through the years many times, but I don't know, something just struck me different about it this time. Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven, and what did he see? He saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Now, why am I, this spoke to me in such volumes. Many verses came to my mind. One was what Jesus says, I'll never leave you or forsake you, but I'll be with you to the very end. That's pretty much the end. It also showed me this, church. This should encourage all of us. And I'm not going to make a doctrine out of this. I think it's just a point of revelation that comes out of this. That I believe, I've said it before, Stephen was seeing the glory of God usher him in before he left the earth. I just have to think that means something. I don't think it was just some one-time encounter that Stephen got to appreciate or see. I think this tells all of us, you know what, that there is a spiritual realm that we can see into as our spirit is leaving us or we are exiting this earth, that there's something greater and higher calling us forward. I think that's how we can let go so easily. I mean, think about this. The wedding cake we had, Melanie said, was the best in the world. She talked about it for 400 miles coming home. The best in the world wedding cake. I mean, the best. She still talks about it home. That's the best wedding cake I ever, ever, ever had. Think about this. Melanie is slipping away, right? I'm laying beside her bed, honey. I love you. And just hang on. And all of a sudden, that wedding cake appears. All you can eat if you just let go. Ah! If you got some cold milk, right here, baby. Full whole milk, 2%, whatever you want. All of a sudden, no, just the cake. The cake called her name, and she lets go. I believe that we see the hand of our God. I believe that we are able to let go because we see behind the veil to say, you know what? I so want that more than I want this, and I can let go of this easily to get that. Just something I saw in this that I've never have caught before. But as he is being attacked, as he is getting ready to be executed, he saw the glory of God. Go to the next verse. Look, he said, and he even told him what he saw. I love this. He said, look to the people around him. I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Hallelujah. Think how that put coal on the fire. They're already mad because he's preaching this Jesus stuff. Now he says, not only am I going to preach him, y'all, I see him. The very one you're going to kill me for, right? Can't y'all see him? Because right there he is. I see who I'm talking about. Boy, that burned them up. Next verse. And this, they covered their ears. Like three-year-olds. I'm not going to listen, mama. They covered their ears. And they yelled at the top of their voices, and they all rushed at him. I mean, boy, he set off a time bomb. Good Lord. He set off a time bomb with this. They're covering their ears, and they're yelling, and now they're charging. And Stephen knows he's done for. They dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. This was not a easy death. It was not merciful whatsoever. Each person would have rocks in their hands and literally beat a person with the rock until they were dead. Painful death. Meanwhile, the witnesses, they laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. The glory of God
was experienced by Stephen even in his painful death. The glory of God was seen and demonstrated in the lowest point of Stephen's life. Yet God didn't leave him. God doesn't leave us in our most darkest times. We can look up and say, yes, Lord, I see you up on the throne. Yes, Lord, you're not left me or forsaken me. Yes, Lord, you are there right where I left you. Thank you for that, God. And death of Stephen cannot overpower the life of Christ in him. That's the beauty. Did you know, I read this fact, I didn't realize it till today. There have been, this will blow your minds, there have been more people martyred for Christ in the last 100 years than the first 19 centuries combined. We think about martyrs being back in the medieval times or back in the Bible times, but more people have died for Christ in the last 100 years than the first 19 combined. All over the world I'm talking about. So people are still dying for the cause of Christ because they won't renounce, because they won't disavow who they believe in. And those Stephen, and I know the other side-minded person might say, well, you know what? That don't seem too fair. Stephen stood up for Jesus, and God let him get stoned to death and beat like a rag doll, and right there, and oh, he escaped. Church, he escaped this earth, and he went to be with the one he preached about. Yes, there was pain for the moment. Yes, for a few moments there, it was rough. But those few moments gave way to a glory that's forever for Stephen. Forever. Because the glory of God showed up. I don't know what is to come of our generation. I don't know what is to come of Christianity. I just know it's under attack greatly. Even in America, it's under attack greatly. See the article about NC State? NC State, Christian tagged me in it and shared it. NC State has issued a rule to where you have to get a permit from the school in order to share your faith if you're a Christian. You've got to get some kind of permit that authorizes you that you can, before you share your faith anywhere on campus or with any student of NC State or any facility of NC State, trying to silence the speech of Christianity. We're under attack because it's the only faith that's alive. It's the only faith that has any power. Jesus is still changing hearts and changing lives. And there is breakthrough in that name of Jesus. There is power in that name of Jesus. There is healing, redemption, deliverance in that name of Jesus. The Bible says, Jesus told Peter, I'll build my church upon this rock. And, you know, the rock wasn't Peter. That's been mistaught by many different people. The rock wasn't Peter. Everybody says Peter was the rock. And the Catholic Church kind of evolved into Peter being the first pope because he said, I'll build it. That's not what he's talking about. The rock he was talking about was the revelation when he asked Peter, who to be? People say, I am. Some say you're alive. Some say you're this. Who do you say I am, Peter? I say you are the Son of God, Son of the living God. He says, you are right, Peter. Revelation has revealed this to you. Upon this rock, not Peter, but upon the revelation that Jesus is Lord. That was the rock. And then he went on to say this, that all the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Because I'm telling you, it's done. I mean, the world can do all they want. They can change all the rules and laws and try to silence colleges and high schools, and they can put boys in girls' rooms, all that mess. But it's not going to change one fact that Jesus has already died, he's already risen, and praise God, he is always and forever King of glory, and nothing can ever change that. And that's what we got to hang on to. Jesus is King. Nothing's going to change it. So they can disrupt all they want, but it ain't going to change the pattern of what's already happened. Enemy's defeated. Christ is risen. The tomb is empty. It's a done deal. 2,000 years ago, the prize was won. And so hell's been trying to ever fight it ever since, but it's not going to win. See, I want to encourage you. Our present may not be so certain. Our tomorrow here on the earth may not be so certain. Things can change with our health, with our families, our finance. All that's is changing variables. But you can be certain of your future with God if you're a Christian. You can be certain. There's a certainty in knowing that I will never taste death. that I will never be away from God, and that when my spirit gives up here in this flesh, that I will be immediately, seamlessly translated into the presence of my holy God. That's a certainty. How can you be so certain with that, Pastor? Because what the Bible says, and church, I believe what the Bible says. I believe by faith what the Bible says. There is no doubt life after this earthly walk. I believe more and more that the Bible says that we are strangers in a strange land, pilgrims passing through, that we're just on a journey. And I know sometimes we may question, what's the point? Why can't we just immediately be born in heaven? You ever thought that? Just be born in heaven. Escape all this. And I don't have the answers for that. I really don't have all the answers to that. I just know that when we know our future in Christ is certain, we can certainly enjoy the present more, because nothing is going to erase my point with God. The Bible says that my name is written in the Lamb's book of life, and I believe that. It's been written by the blood of Jesus in the Lamb's book of life. The Bible says I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit to that day of redemption. Jesus says that in no wise will I cast anyone out, and that I will lose none who come to me, who the Father giveth. That verse to me changed my life when I read that too. That Jesus said that I will lose none of who the Father giveth me. That kind of takes away us trying to save ourselves and stay saved by ourselves. If Christ called me and I gave my heart to him, he ain't going to lose me. I'm his. Church, I'm his. I've been bought with a price. I've been bought by the blood. And his blood now runs in me. And we are connected as Father and Son. We are connected. And so that should encourage you too. Doesn't mean we're going to always walk the line. It doesn't mean that we sin on purpose because we're under grace. I don't believe that either. I want us to be encouraged that we need to look at the true price that Christ paid. The true glory of God showed up at Calvary. The true glory of God showed up when this Lamb of God hung up on the cross in front of all these thousands of people who was sinless, who was the perfect Lamb of God, who opened not his mouth, who committed no sin, but yet died for us. And that same glory of God on the cross then went to a tomb and raised him up the third day. That same glory of God came back in the upper room to fill each one of us that would call upon his name with the Holy Spirit to empower our lives for living here on this earth. I just know my future is certain because the glory of God has showed up. When the glory of God comes into your situation, it takes something that looks impossible and it completely shifts it around. You know, old saying, hindsight 2020. We can always see good in the past. The moments we make terrible mistakes. We make, you know, bonehead decisions. But when we look back, oh, man, yeah, I wish I'd done that. Or, man, if I could have done that. Or, oh, yeah, God, now I see why. That's why we walk by faith. God's not going to show you everything in the future. God calls us to walk step by step in faith, trusting him and believing him. And truly having this attitude. As the old sitcom in the 50s, Father knows best. If we could truly remember that, Father knows best. And he does. May not understand it, but he does. Next verse. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he fell asleep. He died. Man, can you imagine? Doesn't that sound familiar, that phrase? Who else said that? Jesus. Father, forgive them. They know what they do. Stephen had the heart of God. And so even if they're we won't forgive. I won't forgive someone who don't put my fries right. I'll avoid their line next time or give them the look. Fry lady. You know what I'm saying? I mean, don't we do that sometimes? Here is Stephen getting stoned to death. Being murdered for the sake of Christ. And yet he says, Lord, forgive them. What? You know what? Why he could say that? One, he had the love of God in his heart. But I think he also had to understand and realize they don't know what he knows. They don't know what I know. I know who you are, Lord. And they don't. Don't lay this ignorance to their account. So many folks are just ignorant. And I mean that in a respectful way. Ignorant of God's word. Ignorant of what Jesus did. Ignorant of what salvation is about. And until they understand that, they can't get it. These people didn't get it, but Stephen did. So now Stephen's dead. Gone. Saw the glory of God, never left him. Last verse, Romans 8:18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that shall be revealed in us. There is a greater glory than this world and what we are fighting. All I can say is this, church. We need to enjoy the moments of life we can enjoy. Enjoy them to the fullest. Every season has different challenges. I look at Kayla and I hear her children, probably. And that was a great time in our lives, but I praise God Almighty, heaven and glory and back, that I'm not there now. It was great then, and you're in a great time. Enjoy it. It only happens once. You'll thank me later for it. Only happens once. Enjoy it. Because you'll be saying, man, I wish I could grow up a little bit and be independent. I mean, TJ can't do anything. And I wish. So then your wish comes true. They turn 14, and then all madness breaks out. Oh, my God, I wish they were 5 again. I wish they were 6 again. Then they get about 21, and they finally straighten up a little bit, and you're good, and they break your heart and get married. Or move to California. Oh, my God, now they break my heart, they're gone. So our seasons change throughout our lives. And in every season, here's the beauty. God is faithful. Whether we're getting married, whether we're going through a divorce, whether we're having a child, whether we lose a child, whether we're getting a new job, whether we lost a job, whether I got a good check from the doctor or a poor diagnosis from the doctor. But in every season, the faithfulness of God remains steadfast. And our storms and our battles doesn't change who He is. So we got to just trust that. Remember the old song by McCamey's? God of the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day, I'm going to do praise dance, is the God of the night. I mean, that's God. He's faithful every season. So think about that. Just because we're having a bummer day, because we're going through a storm, because we're going through a season we don't like, God's still there. And maybe He's wanting us just to do what David did and say, God, save me. Maybe we've been walking in a place of strength upon our own flesh, and God wants us to depend on Him a little bit more. You know, as a man, Marge, come up here if you don't mind. Just play a little something. And I got a special thing I'm going to do for you in a minute. You'll get a kick out of this. As a man, now I'm talking about as a normal straight man. I got to really clarify this generation, okay? I like for Melanie to depend upon me. Now, I can't do all things, but I can do, there's a lot of things I can't do at all, but there's some things I do pretty good. I'm awesome at some things and horrible other things, but I like Melanie depending on me. I like her leaning on me. I want her independent enough to be self-sufficient, but I don't want her too self-sufficient, you know what I'm saying? So I want a balance there. And I like her needing me. It's going to sound so shallow to you women, okay, because y'all are just so deep. But us men, Gail, you'll get this. You know, Tony, Roddy, you'll get this. I'm sure you will because you're shallow like me. Y'all will get this. Melly couldn't open a jar or something at the house. She strained and strained, brought it to me. I sit there. I'm actually laying in bed. I'm sitting there. Superman. You know what I'm saying? I am Superman with the S on my chest. So shallow, I know. But you know what? She couldn't eat them pickles without me. So I was happy. It's just little things. I'll be carrying something. I'll be carrying a big TV. Good Lord, Jay, how'd you get that up there? I'm just the bomb. That's how I got up there. It made me feel good. You know what? God wants us to feel like we need Him. God wants us to depend upon Him and to lean upon Him. He wants His glory to be seen above our glory. He wants His hand to be seen above our hand. Maybe a door is closed because God's opening something different. Maybe what you think is something bad happening is actually God's glory showing up for a breakthrough for you. Stand if you would. I want to pray this prayer over the church tonight. Lord, there are situations in this room tonight. Situations of brokenness, situations of stress, situations of uncertainty and fear, situations of not knowing how it's going to work out. Many of us tonight are carrying a heavy heart, either for ourselves or someone we love, but we're carrying a heavy heart. Maybe we're bound or someone we love is bound, and we don't have an answer. We can't fix it. We can't change it. We can't do anything about it except this. We can say, Lord, save us. Lord, let your glory shine upon my situation. Let me just get out of the way and let you be the way in my life. For the closed doors that we see as opportunities of destruction, God, you can take those and make them a way of glory. For those avenues that seem like a dead end, maybe you've got to stop for a reason. Maybe you want to turn around and face you and hear your voice. Lord, I pray your hands sweep across the sanctuary and that your glory will shine in our darkness and that your life will overpower the death that's trying to reign in our families, in our homes, in our lives, in our minds. That you, God, get all the glory and that all the land see as the day of Elijah. There is one true God, the living God, who's above, in, and through all things. Let you be seen in our lives. I pray for strength, for peace, for direction, for breakthrough in this place. Breakthrough by your hand. That what seems impossible, God, you are going to perform a miracle. A miracle is going to come forth out of our darkness. That we will see, yes, God, yes, it's all you. And you get all the glory and you get all the praise. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Can you sing Here I Am to Worship? Here I Am to Worship. Y'all stay on your feet a minute. Let's sing as Here I Am to Worship in closing, as before we close the service out. And just worship the Lord on the way out of this place tonight. Thank you. did, Father.
Open my eyes, let me see.
Jesus.
Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you.
Oh, yes, we are.
Here I am to worship.
Praise you. His presence is so powerful right now, church. He is so strong in his place right now.
Here I am to say that
you're my
God. You're altogether lovely, altogether.